Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
Maybe you remember a little while ago, Andrea brought a message about the love stretch. And you remember that title? It was about loving and enlarging actually your capacity to love, loving those that maybe aren't very easy to love. And some of you think, yeah, that family member, that one, and this one, and the person next to you, hopefully not. But the love stretch was about enlarging capacity in your own heart to, okay, I'm going to love even if it's a bit tricky or if it's unnatural. I mean, Jesus says, love your enemies. That's quite a high standard, isn't it? He does say love your neighbor, the one next to you, the one you're with. But he also says love those who are not easy to love. So today's about the faith stretch. And there's so much excitement in the room saying faith stretch. But not as something unattainable, not as something that you can't do, not as something that's not already there for you, but as something that requires a bit of a choice and a bit of a, yeah, Lord, help me, Jesus, help me, and a willingness. But then actually, if he has given us his spirit, who is the spirit of faith, it comes natural to him to help us to believe, right? So the same with the love stretch. It takes a bit of a choice. Sometimes you have to be like, okay, Lord, that person's a bit tricky, but I'm going to choose to love. Help me to love. And the Bible says again about the Holy Spirit, he says, his love, God's love, is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So there's a supernatural element to this when we know Jesus, when we are Christians, when we walk with God. God doesn't just say, go on and love and I'll watch how you get on. He says, no, if you're willing and you're ready, walk with me and I help you love. Or in that other verse that says, you know, his love poured into your heart, it helps you to love. And sometimes you need to pray that a few times. And so the same thing with faith. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. So let's not let Jesus stand over there and say, I'll faith it out. I'll do this. You wait and watch. No, God wants to be with us on that journey and says, okay, come on, let's walk together. But let me stretch your capacity to believe me. There's a story in the Bible where, well, quite a dramatic situation. Someone just died called Lazarus, and the sisters come to Jesus, and you're like, oh, if you'd only been there, and da-da-da, and they're crying, and obviously it's a sad moment. But Jesus says, wait, I hear you, and sort of comforts her, but he says, only believe, and you will see the glory of God. And I don't know about you, but in those moments, like, Jesus, you're on a different level here, because I can completely empathize or sympathize, one of those two, both, but like relate to, there's a difference, I remember, but I keep forgetting what this is. I can relate to Mary and Martha being sad about the brother, and Jesus, I know you do miracles, so if you had been here 3 or 4 days ago, Jesus is like, no, wait, it's not too late, only believe. And I don't know about you, but over the years, reading that story, you sort of, oh yeah, that's really great, and I don't quite understand it, so you move on. It's like, oh yeah, but Jesus, you know. But actually, that phrase, only believe. So Jesus makes a connection here between what has happened in the natural, as in the death of a brother and the sadness, to a potential miracle and something happening in the supernatural that could raise him up, and Jesus bridges that with faith. He says, Martha or Mary, I can't remember who of the ladies it was first, but he says, only believe. Then she says, yeah, I know you are the resurrection and the life, and one day he will rise again. And she obviously has that hope, which is brilliant. But he says, no, I am, Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. I am, and I'm here.
Yes. Come on.
Okay, it's clicking. I can feel it clicking. Because if the Bible says where two or three are gathered, I am here.
Amen.
So where is the resurrection and the life? Here. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't physically see Jesus right now. But we believe, because of what he said, that he's with us by his spirit. So we're starting to identify, okay, we have a kind of natural level here, and that story was the sadness and the loss. We have a natural level of, we can't physically see Jesus. But we also aware, through those stories and what I've just said, and your yes and amen in the room, that there's another level here, a supernatural reality that God is real, but God is spirit. God isn't physical as we are in the same way. But he says, I've come to live with you, or within you, as you said, Andrew, among you by my spirit. And sometimes I don't know if we forget or we ignore or we're not aware enough, but I believe God wants us to be aware that he is here. He is. He says, I am the resurrection and the life, and I'm here. Faith stretch. I'm already enlarging you a little bit, because I think the journey that I feel like God's taking me on is, firstly, it's an awareness of God, right? I'm going to be aware that He is here. He's living within me. The Bible says He's come to live in us. If we give our life to Him, He comes to give His life to us, right? Or Andrew said earlier, there's that verse that says, the kingdom of heaven isn't there or here, over there. So you don't have to look out here, or it's within you. But then, as you pointed out very well, Andrew, thank you, it's what do we do with that? How do we give that away? Because if I just do that, it won't touch you. It's when I do that, when love is in action, when faith is in action. Now, I'm going to go through something that completely, I mean, it brought me to England, so it must have rocked my world at that time. But it's been an understanding or revelation or whatever you want to call it, that has taken me from one course of life and just going along to church and just doing stuff. And I was involved and I was in a good family and all of that. But it took me out of that, brought me to England for 1 year, which became two, which became three, which is seven now. And thank you, Jesus, I've got married and we're here. So hallelujah, whatever that journey is. But if there was one thing that God did in me that brought me on that course, I think it was this kind of revelation, which opens up other things. But some of you would have heard this before, but for some of you, this might be new. And I think there's a slate for that rule where it says spirit, soul, and body. I hear a few people resonating with that, maybe others don't. So I'm just going to, the slates will build up this picture. So what I'm trying to do, so we're still in those stories, right? Jesus, resurrection, the life. But what I want to do is try and bridge the gap between the natural realm and then God's supernatural realm and how they interlink and what that looks like within us. So all of us, now I didn't make this up, right? There's different bits in the Bible that help us bring that together, but also there's a book in the back called In Christ Jesus, if you want to know more, page 40. But so before we come to know Jesus, all of us, we have a soul, we have a body, and the Bible calls it, I'm going to show you in a minute, it's like the spirit is dormant. It's like, you know, the Bible says we are all eternal. God has put eternity in our hearts. When we give our life to Him, we're going to be eternity with Him. If we don't, there's another option I don't recommend. But we are all spiritual in some way. But when we come to know Jesus, He brings us alive in the spirit. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. What's the soul bit? It's your mind, emotions, your will. So Rory, you should go to the next bit. Yeah, so it's maybe a bit small for you to read, but it's your mind, your emotions, your will. What makes you you? It's your character. It's your thinking, your upbringing, your, I don't know, just what puts you together, your emotions, how you feel, how you process things. It's the choices you make. They sit in your kind of soul life, your natural, yeah, your makeup. And then your body, obviously, if you pinch yourself, you have a physical body. If you don't, that's strange. But we have a body. Now, our soul, our mind, emotions, and will, I can make a decision with my mind. I feel somehow about that. Like, I knew Andrew was going to be here this morning, so in my head, I was processing that, getting quite excited. I haven't seen you for a while. And then my decision when he came was to give him a hug, right? But that process was then expressed through my body. Does that make sense? I don't want to, this is like down to earth, isn't it? So you have your thinking, emotions, your will, which are expressed in your body. Let's come back to this one again, because this is all the natural bit that's kind of every human being can do that or has that. What happens here? So the Bible says in, I'm just going to go to Ephesians chapter 2, which is quite interesting. It talks about from death to life. Maybe if you've been around Christianity for a while, we always say, oh, from death to life. But what does it actually mean? Well, if you think about this, hopefully this is helpful. In Ephesians 2, it says, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. Now, that's not physical death. That's not death in your body. That's spiritually dead and not alive. You were dead in your transgression and sin in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work and those who are disobedient. And it goes on to say, all of us lived among them at one time. So before you come to know Jesus, before you give your life to him, we just live to gratify the cravings of our flesh. We do what we like. That's how we live, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest of us, we were by nature deserving wrath. So not the best place to be. Next one, Rory, thank you. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. So the first few words were, you were once dead in your transgression and sins. And then it ends with, but he made us alive with Christ. So here, some other verses I'm just going to throw in. But when it says the old is gone, the new has come, and then it talks about a new creation, it's that spirit man that's now alive. So Rory, if you can go back to spirit, soul, and body. Sorry, we're jumping here with the graphics. And the next one. So we've done that. Now, when I give my life to Jesus, when he makes me come alive, it says he made us alive with Christ. This comes alive. My spirit wakes up. Right? Yeah, you were dead in your transgression. I wasn't physically dead. I was very well alive and I did what I wanted to do. But it was this where suddenly God does something. Jesus words it like this. He says, you know, if you believe in me, then the Father and I will come and make a home within you. We will come to live within you by the Spirit. Or he says, I will go away, but I'll send you someone. He's called the Counselor, the Helper. He's the Holy Spirit. He is here. Yeah, Robbie, bring it back. Bring it back. Holy Spirit comes. Right? Are you following? So the Holy Spirit comes and brings me alive spiritually. Now, what does God want to do? He doesn't want the Holy Spirit to be stuck on the inside and that's it. He wants that new life in Christ. I know I'm putting in loads of other words. He wants the Holy Spirit, that new life in Christ now, to impact our natural life, our soul life. So the word of the Bible says, let your mind be renewed. Let your thinking change. Think what God thinks. Like here, you know, read the word, walk in his ways. So the things of God impacting your thinking, impacting your emotions. If you've been a very unstable emotionally person, the Holy Spirit wants to help you become a bit more stable. So he's the spirit of peace, of wholeness, of love, of strength, but not separate from you. Does that make sense? He wants to bring that into your thinking and into your emotions, into your decision-making. There's a lot about your decisions in the Bible, what we decide to do, what we don't. We talked earlier about kind of Columbia and love in action, faith in action. Those are decisions. But I know the guys who started it, that was the starting point. It was like, God, we want to do something. Holy Spirit, what you want us to do? Give us the strength to love. Give us the ideas. Give us the connections. So it comes from God. But you make a decision, don't you? You have to, otherwise you wouldn't be in Colombia. You make a decision and then you put hands on that. It looks like something. Because even my goodwill here doesn't necessarily produce fruit. So Rory, should we put the next picture on there? This is the spiritual version. The Holy Spirit comes and then he flows out of us as rivers of living water. Anyone know that? You know that verse. Jesus says, come to me and drink from me. And it says, by this he spoke of the Holy Spirit. So that everyone who believes in me out of his inner being, right? His inner being, the Holy Spirit within him will flow rivers of living water. But they filter through your personality. That's where the challenge is. Because I'm not living in perfection yet. I don't know about you. But sometimes my mind isn't fully, you know, that's why the word says align with the thinking of God. Let your mind be renewed. Come, you know, that kind of thing. So as we spend time with God, as we journey with him, and I mean, the theological word is sanctification. We are transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory. Another verse. This changes. But then what comes out of us is something glorious. I don't know if you, well, hopefully you've seen it this morning, but when you meet someone who really walks with God, they just have something about them. They just have a glow. They just have a love. They just have a faith, a kindness, a goodness, a faithfulness. It was all attributes of the Holy Spirit that have been worked into the personality. Yeah? Yeah? So the fruits of, I love this stuff, I'm so sorry. I've been waiting to bring this message for over a month and I'm finally, honestly, Andrea knows. I was like, this Sunday, no. So the slates are from last month, but we never got around to it, but here we are. So in Galatians 5, I don't think I have it on a scripture, but let's leave the uproar for a minute. It talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Do we remember some of them? Love? Joy? We talked about that earlier. Peace, patience, long-suffering. Oh, that one. Do you need that with Norton? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Self-control is there. Kindness, yeah. All beautiful things, right? We love those. But if you're not a naturally kind person, well, where does that kindness then come from? The clue's in it says the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? So God giving us his Holy Spirit in your inner being, your inner man, as the Bible calls it, he then wants to produce fruits in your life. Needs a bit of cooperation, but fruits are grown. They don't come overnight, right? So the patience and the love and the kindness, take that's a lifelong journey, right? God wants to then work that, those qualities, those characteristics of God, yeah? He wants to work that, and that's sometimes a bit tricky because this is, trying to think how much I want to say now because I actually want to talk about something else too. But this is where through the, we do something in the church called the Freedom Course, and what it tries to help us with is this bit a lot. Getting this right first, we'll come to that in a few weeks, but with this bit, because if we've been hurt in the past, if stuff has happened, we can build strongholds of pain in our lives, and they sit here. They're not in the spirit. They're in our thinking, our emotions, depending on how our parents were with us. Good or bad, build certain pathways of thinkings and where in our lives we maybe find it difficult. I don't know, maybe you know someone who finds it difficult to receive love because they've been hurt. Anyone know someone? That is also here. That's where certain ways of thinking, emotions are clocked up in us sometimes. And what God wants to do is wants to help us and love us. I know we use that term love all the time then. He wants to help us and journey with us to be free. Because what then happens is what comes out here is more pure. Yeah? But God doesn't say, oh, come on, get over it. Like, I want this, I want the results, I want fruit. No, God says, I love you so much. I want to bless you first. I want to love you. But the natural result of that working through us is rivers of living water. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to drink clean water at home. You know, we have this filter thing that I don't even know if it works properly, but you put it in and now we sometimes buy water. So we're always trying to, what's clean water? You know, I don't want the chemicals in there. I can taste it. And from the area in Germany I'm from, we live in sort of, I don't know if you can call them mountains. My sister in Switzerland says it's not mountains, it's hills. But for England, it's mountains, right? We were almost 800, 1,000 meters up. So, but the water is beautiful. It's crystal clear. I literally go just to the sink and just drink tap water because it's fresh. But what God wants to do in our lives, he wants that those rivers of living water to be fresh, to be clean, to be pure. Now, none of us is perfect. And I'm like, every day I'm sitting there, Jesus, help me, right? Jesus, help me. And so many times I'm not doing things motivated by the Spirit. So I'm in that process. But for all of us, here it is an invitation from God, where he's like, God wants rivers to flow out of you, of life, but they are pure. So let's go on that journey. Are we okay with that? So we come back to the faith bit in a minute, but then what it looks like practically hands-on sometimes, it's like what Saren did in Colombia. It's now sitting with those, loving them. Now it's very practical things, and maybe for you it's looking after your neighbor, doing shopping. I know some of you do shopping for your neighbors. Those are practical ways of loving. I've been trying to reach out to one or two family members I haven't heard from for ages, and he's not a believer, and very tricky situation, and his dad died, and of cancer and stuff, and I'm trying to get him back in touch, not to gain anything from the relationship, but to love, and I just feel that prompting. Now, where does the prompting come from here? It comes from the Holy Spirit, just that heart of love that's then worked through my conscious choice. I need to find his number. I need to, you know, where's that? Basically, I found it, and I'm just going to bless him. Whether he responds, whether he doesn't, he did respond, which is good. Now he's quiet again. But just like, I'm just going to love him. I'm just going to pour those rivers. And you know, when, I know different analogies now, but when there's a very dry land like you had in Colombia, what do you need is water. Like, okay, spiritually now, when there's a dry land, what do you need is water, right? So where's that water going to come from? Those people around your life, those people maybe next to you right now, those people in your street, at your workplace, maybe you get frustrated with the people around you because it's dry and they're always negative and this. But how is God going to solve that situation? You know, I'm not saying you're the only solution, but what's on the heart of God is to use you to water the land with life, with prayer, with words, with, so how are you actually, you know, rather than just pushing them away. All of those love, were like acts of love and faith, which we come to now, they are watering someone else's heart, someone else's life. Are you ready for a couple more scriptures? So we've come alive in Christ now, right? We're getting transformed by the Holy Spirit. Here's Galatians 5, should be the next one up, Rory. It says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now it gets a bit more challenging because this is about our lifestyle. I might tread on some people's feet now, but I'm treading on my own too, which is okay. And then it goes on to say, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, And the spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict. So don't just do whatever you like. What is that talking about? Can we go back to the three words, Rory? Spirit, soul, body. What Bible means by flesh is when those two act independently of that. When I say, actually, I know God's word. I don't know, what do I pick now? I don't want to pick something, an example, but I know actually the way God wants me to live is this, but actually I really don't want that. Which is actually you're almost creating a separation between the Holy Spirit and the best God has for you, and that you're acting independently. So it's what the Bible says, the flesh. And the Bible says those two are then in opposition. And the idea that God has is that those are surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Anyone heard that? When you gave your life to Jesus, surrender your life to Jesus. I remember when I first came to England, we had to write a letter to Jesus. Anyone done that? Sophie, you did that. Vivian. And Pastor Colin led us through this way of surrendering, not just, I surrender, amen. What's next, Jesus, right? But it's surrendering everything that comes to mind, really. My mind, my emotions, my will, my heart, my relationships. The idea being that all of that is in submission to God. And that sounds like a harsh thing, but that's where the life is. That's where the life flows. So when the Bible says, you know, flesh and spirit are contrary, you have a choice. And it encourages us to walk by the Spirit. It goes on to talk about the acts of the flesh, different ways that aren't ideal. And then it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. So it gives us this choice of choose the Spirit, and then cultivate that. Let's move on. Here's another one. Ephesians 4 verse 30 then says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Ooh, that stood out to me a while ago, a few years actually. And I was like, ooh, I can actually grieve the Holy Spirit. What does that even mean? Obviously, been on a journey with that a little while. And maybe you have too, I don't know. But the Holy Spirit is not just a force or a bit of a feeling, even though we can feel His presence. Sometimes we do. But the Holy Spirit is God, is who, you know, God pouring Himself into you. He's a person. And I don't, maybe the closest thing I can think about is, this will sound a bit funny, but I don't want to grieve my wife. I don't want to do something which creates tension. No, what I want to be in harmony. This is hopefully not a revelation, otherwise do a marriage course. But you know, hopefully if you're in a friendship, in a relationship, you want to be in harmony with one another, right? So, but I think you even get it when that idea when you're not married, as in that picture, because if you think, okay, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to walk with Him. So what does that mean to live in a way that's honoring, that's loving? So, and the Bible, you know, I don't want to repeat myself now, but it talks so much about what God values and what He's interested in. And so when we spend time with Him, we can hear His heart and, you know, we can line up with Him. And sometimes we live in a way which maybe gratifies our flesh rather than the Spirit, which is just not the best that God has for us, and which just starts to clash. And what then happens, we sometimes feel distant from God. But then again, sorry, I'm going to talk freedom for the next 12 weeks because it's on my mind because we're doing it. But this week we've been looking at, or last week, about shame and how it pushes us away from God. I haven't lived up to the mark. I haven't done this. I haven't lived in the Spirit. I haven't been the most faithful. And God says, no, don't go hiding. We looked at Adam and Eve, where they've been hiding in the garden because they did something that they shouldn't have done. And God says, where are you? So God's heart is never to say, oh, you should really be more spiritual. Come on, I've given you my word. You know, standing over here, get on with it. No, it's, come on, where are you? Let's walk together. God always says, walk with me. Humble yourself, walk with me, come to me. Like, how often does He say that? And we still forget to do it. But when it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, it's not a, you better not grieve the Holy Spirit. It's a, no, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, because you're missing out on the best partner you could have. I have this book on my shelf called The Holy Spirit, My Senior Partner. It's basically this guy in South Korea on his knees in poverty, actually, as well, finding that the Holy Spirit can be his best friend, or Jesus can be his best friend, walks with him, he could talk with him. So let me tie some things together. We talked a lot about hearing God recently, and a few weeks back here, we did it in the church in the homes, I think last time. Prayer, how can we hear God? What are we actually talking about? We want to live in harmony with the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, what are you saying then? So you know, I don't just want to think and just do life without you. I want that spirit, soul, body to flow together. I want to include you, God. So here's another scripture in Isaiah 55. Most of you probably know this one. Isaiah 55, it says, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And then it says, it goes on to say, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Let me come back to what I said in the beginning. There seems to be, Jesus is a bit on another level, right? He comes, shows up on the scene, says, don't worry, I connect with you in your grief, but I am the resurrection of the and the life, and there's a miracle there. Mm. Only believe. And I've been thinking of that scripture, Rui, sorry if you can just bring it up again, where God says, my ways are higher. There's another reality, a spiritual reality, putting that together with what I just said, the Holy Spirit in your life is a higher reality than just that, right? He says, my ways are higher, my thoughts are higher. But let's now keep that in mind about the thoughts. In 1 Corinthians 2 should be the next scripture, Rory. It says, it is written, yeah, here, maybe you know this one. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, right? Soul, mind. Those things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. Only the Spirit is able to understand all things, even the deep things about God. And then it goes on, nobody can know the thoughts of another person, but each knows his or her own thoughts. Similarly, nobody knows God's thoughts except his own Spirit. And we who believe in Jesus have not been given the Spirit of this world, but God's own Spirit, whom he sent to us so we can understand all he has given us. That's good. That's really good. And then later in the chapter, it says, we have been given the mind of Christ, so we know how he views things. Now, Rory, can we jump back to spirit, soul, and body one more time? Can we hear that scripture I just said in that light? Or hopefully this helps us to understand. So what no eye has seen, what no mind has conceived, those are the things God has given us by the Spirit. Amen. So someone who doesn't know Jesus and they only live here, there's no Holy Spirit in their lives, it doesn't make sense. And Paul says then, oh, we talk about spiritual things. Some people, it doesn't click because they're not alive yet. So it says, what no eye has conceived, what no mind has conceived, sorry. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Only the Spirit is able to understand all things, even the deep things about God. And then it goes on to say, nobody knows God's thoughts except the Spirit. But God has given us his Spirit. Okay, I'm trying to bridge now the gap between we live here on a natural plane, you know, today it's raining, tomorrow's the sun, something bad happened. And then Jesus coming in, my thoughts are higher, my ways are greater. There are some things in the Spirit that I want to reveal, that I hear. And those two meet as we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus, as we surrender to him. Not just once in a lifetime, right? But I do this every day. I just give my life to Jesus. I give my thinking to Jesus because I want the way I look at you, work, situations, music, stuff, whatever I do. I want to approach that not just with this, my mind, my emotions, my will. I want to be like, God, give me your perspective. Give me your view. So I see some people nodding. Hopefully a few things clicking because a lot of this you know. But I wanted to encourage you that the faith stretch, what is the faith stretch? Is God wants us to live, or his best for us is to live on a supernatural level, not just down here. But to live there, we need to strengthen this one, the Spirit. So the Bible says, as you pray in the Holy Spirit, you strengthen your inner man. So that's why if you've come on Wednesday evenings, maybe I don't know if you've given up coming, please come. What we've been doing, we've been quite raw and down to earth. We've been like, right, we're not going to have a million worship tracks that help us and ease us in. We're just going to pray. We're literally going to be like, so where are we at spiritually? Let's pray. Let's pray. If we feel dry, sometimes a worship song helps us. It's so nice to us. We play worship tracks in the house all the time. But actually, that's my soul having to come in line with this. If my spirit is worshiping, I could just worship now. Like, if my spirit's praying, I don't need Andrew to encourage me. I'm praying already. Like, I might not be using words, but on the inside, something's bubbling. And I'm not saying that to raise our, we should all be on a different level spiritually, but as an encouragement, I feel like God's calling us to another level, to live, to expect the supernatural, but not in our own strength, not in, I'm going to have to work some faith up. No, from here. But Faith doesn't just pop up. Faith is when you invest in your relationship with Jesus. When you say, right, Jesus, you're the author and the perfecter of my faith. So inspire me, infuse me. So what am I going to do? I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be singing. I'm going to declare. I'm going to worship. What is happening then? My soul is catching up. It's coming in line. I had a conversation. I've come to an end in a minute. I had a conversation with someone the other day, and I started talking about this lifestyle of the supernatural that I believe God wants, not just me, obviously, all of us, across the church, everywhere, every Christian. God wants us to live there. And we were talking about it, and he says, yeah, usually, you know, he's in the worship band in another congregation. He was playing bass or something. And he said, yeah, sometimes, you know, I come to worship time and I sort of prepare my heart, and that's really good. And I sometimes get a word, I sometimes don't, but I'm willing. But then I talked to him about living in a place where you just carry stuff from God and you worship anyways, whether you're playing or not. Like, we don't even have a band. I still want to be worshiped. And he suddenly was like, a few days later, we saw each other and somewhere, and he said, I've been thinking about this, because Kai, you've been talking about a lifestyle. You didn't just talk about praying, God, give me a word for a meeting, give me a word for a prayer meeting, and you sort of work your way up spiritually, you know, like, oh, I'm doing this. No, Kai, you've been talking about a lifestyle. I'm getting excited because he's getting it. And I was like, yeah, this is a lifestyle where God wants to encourage us in the way we cultivate our relationship with him here, is that suddenly what's happening here is a life of faith, a life of love. But that only happens with practice, putting that into practice. So I finish with this a bit. But the story that's chasing me at the moment, following me, God's encouraging me with, is Peter walking on water. And I can't get away from the fact that it's a crazy idea to step out of the boat. It's literally, it doesn't make sense. So if you don't know the story, some of you probably do. There's a storm, all's crazy. The disciples, the friends of Jesus, are in this boat, and they see Jesus walking on water, because, right, he's on another level. He's in the super, you know, he's just, yeah, that's, he's Jesus. He's walking on water, which is supernatural, and everyone else is scared. They think it's a ghost. But then Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, call me, and I come. It's like, who are you? But what's happening? Everyone's scared. Like, this is ridiculous. Peter's like, ooh, wait, something's happening. I've known Jesus for a while. He does that kind of stuff. If it's you, Jesus, call me. And what does he do? Now, to the natural mind, it's ridiculous. Don't step out the boat. It's not going to hold you. Water's water. He's a fisherman. He knows it's going to go down, right? And I know we use that as a spiritual picture, but it was physical then, right? If God calls you to walk on Worthing Beach, go do that. Only if it's him, though. Otherwise, it doesn't work, right? And that's the other thing. If we make it up, it doesn't work. But if it's truly of God, it will work. And Peter, as crazy as it is to the natural mind, he starts to walk on water because there's another reality that has met his reality, right? There's a supernatural realm that touches earth. And Jesus says, pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's heaven and earth. It's supernatural and the plane, right? So, and I just hear God saying again and again, come out the boat. What's the boat? It's my familiar, it's my comfort, it's what makes sense, it's what's logical. But it's, and that's, you can still call yourself a Christian, so don't worry. If you want to sit in the boat, you can still be a Christian, right? But God wants us not just to have a faith confession, he wants us to have a living faith. Well, we step out the boat, we believe for those friends, we believe for those family members. At work, we don't just work at work like this, sorry. We say, Jesus, what are you want to do at my workplace today? Is there an idea? Is that creativity? How do you want to change the world, basically? And God is like, yeah, now you've linked in here and you cultivate that, rivers are flowing. And it's not just a positive attitude that comes out. It's glory that comes out because he's the Spirit of glory. And I just want to encourage you, and I want to stretch your faith a little bit, that we don't just approach things on this level. We invite that level, if that makes sense. And hopefully, maybe you think this is completely crazy by the book, but just as an analogy of like, this is how God can use me. That was my revelation. Whoa, it's not just somehow God moves. No, God comes into my heart, my life, and I can cultivate my relationship with him, my love and my faith. And then my love stretch, that expression in love is loving one another, loving, you know, going beyond my faith stretch. And I think that's our faith stretch now, is what do we see here and how does heaven interact? How does heaven come in? And that's a journey, right? But I just want to, just to close, just lead a short response of
Yeah, if you can just close your eyes, actually, we'll just get into it straight away rather than me explaining it. I just want to encourage you to just reflect and maybe ask God, what is my faith stretch? Where am I looking at the natural rather than expecting your supernatural? Where do you want to call me higher? That's the word, I think. Where do you want to call me higher to expect you to move? What are you saying to me? And God, I just pray that as you've given me this kind of, hopefully it came across well, but this heart of what I've been carrying for over a month now, encouraging us not to live on the natural plane, but to expect the supernatural. Holy Spirit, only you can do this. You're the Spirit of faith. And I just ask you, God, to enlarge within us a capacity to believe you for glory, to believe you to do something miraculous, to believe you. But Lord, you initiate that. I don't want us to work that up and try and strive and have a good confession that comes out of mouth. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, in this moment and through this week or in the coming weeks, would you enlarge our hearts, enlarge our faith, that we don't just call ourselves Christian because we have a different worldview than someone else, but we are living a life of faith. And I thank you for everyone here. Thank you for how precious every person is in this room. Thank you that this is not a, you should be living in faith, but it's a, there's an opportunity here from God and he's calling us higher. Are you willing to join? Are you willing to come? Are you willing to go that journey of faith? And Holy Spirit, we just commit our hearts to you, our lives to you. As I said earlier with the surrender thing, I surrender, we surrender to you. Teach us how to believe. Show us how to follow. Show us something crazy where we're like, that is ridiculous. We can't do that. It doesn't make sense. It's out the boat. It's out the box, whatever. But Jesus, that's where faith is working, because am I actually walking by faith otherwise? And Lord, I just want to thank you that you would draw us also as a congregation to a higher place where we, to the natural mind, it looks ridiculous, but actually in God, there are some miracles there. So Lord, we surrender, we're excited, we thank you. And I just pray you'd keep working that in our hearts and lives. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.